You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello, and welcome to the Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you are hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and you want more people in your email list, or maybe you have your six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. I have all the goodies for you, my dears, and all I need from you is a lot of action. Today, our bold and fearless entrepreneur is Natalie. Natalie is an author, speaker, podcaster, social media coach, and impact entrepreneur, and is a mission to help women in business to do and be more than they ever thought possible. I love it. It's not only about social media, it's also about helping them to shine and have more fun and flow in their business. We have the most fascinating conversation today, and you are totally going to learn a lot from her. In fact, her fun and effervescence really come out when you talk to her and you listen to her. Be sure to link up with her on social media, and all of our show notes will be on womenpreneursuccess.com/Natalie. So without further ado, I'm going to get right into it with Natalie Cutler.
Hi, Natalie. How are you?
I'm great, Smita. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for waking up so early for me.
I know. I'm trying to get my voice going. I've got a hot lemon drink here.
Hey, that's better than coffee. I'm like, without coffee, I'm like, my mind wouldn't work. That's awesome. So you're a night owl. So what time do you generally go to sleep?
You know, I've got some clients and they go to bed so late. It's ridiculous. That's one of the things we're working on with them is kind of boundaries and things. But for me, I mean, you know, 11 o'clock sometimes. But what I'm trying to implement now is to have maybe just two nights a week where I do like a late night. And that's for me, that's 11:30. Like not, it's not 2 a.m. But then other nights where it's like 9:30, boom, no more screen time.
Right, right. And then what time do you wake up?
Usually I wake up because my four-year-old is standing there right in my face, and that's why I was like, oh, hello, and he's standing right there. And it's usually, I don't know, sometimes in the sixes, you know, six something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's seven something. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I
have
an alarm.
Four-year-old too, so yeah, exactly. And my four-year-old would wake up. I mean, he can sleep at 11, 12 in the night on the weekends, and he'll still wake up at 6 in the morning. I'm like, dude, seriously, it's the weekend. Can we just do 8 instead of 6? And no. So I know what you mean. So you are the go-to girl, Natalie. I am really excited to talk to you. And before we get into your journey, I really want to talk about, you know, what was your first ever job?
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I didn't have a job in high school. I had a few jobs I wanted to do, and my dad wouldn't let me. Like, I was like, I want to work in a restaurant. And he's like, no, you don't want to work in a restaurant. And then I was like, I want to be a bike courier. No, too dangerous. You don't want to be a bike courier. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of like the good girl, I suppose. But I actually ended up working at the hospital he works in the, that's so interesting, in the PR, I haven't thought about this in years, in the like PR, not PR department, but what was it called? Customer services department, which is so funny, you know, looking at retrospect is so interesting, looking back, and that was all about like people and making sure people were happy, which totally makes sense. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And what did you do after that?
So that was really like a summer job situation. And I suppose my first proper job would have been coming out like probably after university. I did lots of things like volunteering and things. But my first job would probably be coming out of university, and I did a few jobs around the lines of working with children, well, youth, doing outdoor education. So always wanting, I suppose the common trend with me is always wanting to help people to kind of, you know, do and be more than they ever thought possible. And at that point in my life, in my 20s as well, I was working mainly with youth using rock climbing and kayaking as a medium. So using the outdoors as a medium for personal growth and development.
Interesting. Yeah. So when was that turning point, or when did you decide that you wanted to help people really understand social media?
That wasn't until a lot later. So it was always wanting to help people to achieve more and do more. But then I moved into parenting. So it really just followed the course of my life. So when I was interested in the outdoors and adventure and, you know, I was like young and free, I was interested in using the outdoors. Then when I became a mother, and I had a few more jobs in between, but when I became a mother, I was really interested in helping parents, but particularly moms, to realize that they're not the only ones that find parenting really tricky and pretty, really exhausting and really hard on the relationship, because no one ever talked about that stuff. They were all just talking about like breastfeeding and nappies, you know, diapers and things like that. So I wanted to talk about, let's talk about the relationship and the changes that take place and your expectations and your judgments of each other and your love of each other and all that. So that's really what I started talking about. And I wrote a book. It's called If Only They'd Told Me. We ended up doing 125 podcasts on the topic of parenting, because there's so many things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And through that journey, I ended up learning about social media, about Facebook and Pinterest primarily. And then as a result of that, I ended up wanting to help women who had their own business. And that's really how Go-To Girl came about.
Awesome. Awesome. So going back to, you know, through your experiences in life, and I love the fact that you said that your jobs have been kind of where you are in life.
Yeah.
Whenever you were at that moment, did you ever think ahead, or did you ever think, okay, what am I going to do with this? Or what am I going to do next? Or were you always in the moment and kind of just went with the flow?
Well, one example is when I was doing the outdoor stuff and I was studying outdoor recreation. And it's funny, I came across a whole bag of journals the other day, journals from my life, because I love writing. So I've got this whole bag, about 10 journals pouring out. And it was interesting. I found a page and it had this picture of a health wellness retreat that I was like, one day I'm going to own a retreat and I'm going to have people come and they're going to do outdoor activities and we're going to do like yoga and have healthy drinks. And this is me in 20 years ago, right?
Wow.
And which is so interesting because I've completely moved away from that mode. I went through a phase, not a phase, but where I studied, I actually did my master's of environmental education because I really wanted to, again, help people, but more help people to appreciate what they've got and to make less bad impact on the world, more positive impact, but less bad impact on the world. And I kind of went away from, lately I haven't thought about the retreat thing that much, but now it's funny because I'm like, in 2016, I want to do a retreat. It's not a yoga wellness retreat because that's not really me. Well, I should do more yoga and wellness things.
Right. Shouldn't we all?
Yeah. But the retreat in my mind is more about women entrepreneurs, of course, getting away from their usual environment, probably not rock climbing and kayaking because I'm not really, I mean, I don't really do that anymore, but more about looking at their goals, looking at their values, looking at, you know, their life path and their mission and the difference they want to make, and using obviously social media and also networking as a way to do that. And of course, I would bring somebody in to do some yoga with us and we'd have healthy food. So it's interesting how it's kind of not quite full circle, but it's coming back to that vision that I had 20 years ago.
Yeah, isn't that? I mean, I think that's amazing. And I remember telling somebody recently where they were doing something that was completely different from what they went to school for. And, you know, she was doubting it. And I said, you know, everything you do in life is an experience and you might not know it then, but you are going to take something out of it that you're going to be able to use. And these are just life stories and life experiences that really you can just put together. And yeah, so I love that. I love that story. And I'm sure in some way, shape or form, you're able to use all of those in what you're doing today.
I think so.
Wonderful. So let's talk about social media, right? The one thing that everybody wants to master, and yet it's so hard. So what is the one social media platform that you love the most?
Well, right now at the moment, the hottest thing at the moment is Blab and Periscope in brackets. I actually did a live online training last night for a special private one for a certain group here in New Zealand, and spent a little bit of time talking about Periscope and Blab because how can you not, really? It's so exciting. It's probably the most exciting thing that's happened in a while. And I think the reason being is social media initially, I think, really the idea of it is for people to know what you're doing in real time. Like, what are you doing at the moment, right? When people, you know, when Twitter first came out, people would just be, you know, they're just tweeting what they're doing. And then as time went on and things developed, and particularly for businesses, using online scheduling tools like Hootsuite and Buffer and Meet Edgar, et cetera, which are great, and they totally got their place for saving time and stress. However, they're planned ahead and it's part of your strategy of what you're going to post on Wednesday and what you're going to post on Friday. Mm-hmm. I think the beautiful thing about live stream video is that you get to see someone. You get a little window into who they are as a person because actually mm-hmm. visually you can see them if they're the host on Blab or if they're a guest on Blab or if they're the person running the Periscope, you can see their face. Mm-hmm. And it's actually live and it's not like a pre-recorded video with fancy lighting and amazing makeup and stuff. It's just more real and raw. It's more forgiving, I suppose, in a way, more authentic, but also for some people really scary because it is live, which means like they have mm-hmm. to think on their feet. They can't just like record a video, watch it back, delete it if they don't like it and re-record.
Absolutely. And I think I like Blab better than a video because I'm just not a rehearsed kind of, okay, let's cut this and let's do that. I'm just like, you know what, just put it out there and whatever comes out and you're done.
Oh, I hear you. I'm exactly the same. Yeah, I think for people that are listening that don't know what they are, just super quick, Periscope is done on your phone. And if you're recording it yourself, it's either your face or if you double tap, it'll turn the screen around so you can pan like if you're at the beach or if you're showing behind the scenes in your office or you're doing a how-to video to make free brownies or whatever, depending mm-hmm. on what your business or your hobbies are. And people can engage by commenting, and the comments just flick up really quickly, actually, on your phone. And so you can be like, oh, hi, Germany. Oh, hey, somebody's from Switzerland. How are you? You know, and people are telling you where they live, and they're asking you about your hair and your coat and all sorts of things. So that's very quickly on Periscope. And then Blab, similar but different, is generally if you're the one running it, you're sitting at your computer, you've got your headset, it shows four faces. So four people can be on the screen at the same time. Everybody else's comments off to the side on the right hand side. And again, the comments are flipping up, probably a bit slower, the comments. So what could happen is I could interview Smita, for example, on Blab. We could talk for 10 or 15 minutes and then we could say, okay, guys, we've got two seats open. If you want to come on in and ask us some questions live, then click join and we'll accept you onto the call. So it's quite cool. You can bring essentially strangers or your viewers on so we can see their face and they can be on their phone or their computer. And they can ask questions live, or they can, if they don't want to show their face or if they don't get one of those two spots, they can ask questions in the comments. So it's just, it's incredible. It's really amazing.
I know. Awesome. And thank you so much for that. So let's talk a little bit about the business side of it, right? So these are great platforms. How can one leverage these to really build their community and eventually do business?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing with both of those is it's a great way, I said before, to give people a window into who you are. So what I mean by that is people usually buy from the person and their why, the reason why they're doing it, not so much just strictly based on their amazing branding or their website mm-hmm. design. So I think that it basically gives you a chance to give, to be generous and be helpful and to put great, you know, content or knowledge out there. So you kind of immediately, people can become almost the expert. This is a good thing and a bad thing. Mm-hmm. People can be seen as almost the expert in their field just by jumping on Periscope or a Blab, as long as they're really good at presenting. So it's a great way to increase your credibility, to grow your following so people can follow each other. A great way on Periscope and Blab is you can go on and view other people's Periscopes and Blabs, and you can also follow people that look relevant and interesting to you. You can follow mm-hmm. them just by touching their name on the screen and then click view profile and then you just follow them. So you can grow your following, you can increase your credibility, you can showcase your knowledge and your expertise, and then of course you can do a call to action, which means you can invite mm-hmm. people to come on back to get your free gift that you've got, maybe send them to your website, or you can do a giveaway, you can tell them about your upcoming program or your upcoming retreat. So you don't want to be too salesy, but when people ask, and they often do, like, how can I work with you, or what do you do, mm-hmm. then there's a mm-hmm. great opportunity for you to kind of weave it into the conversation without coming across too salesy. I think that would be my advice. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. And let's talk about, you know, being comfortable with speaking and all of that stuff. And Natalie, you do a lot of in-person events. I've followed you on Facebook and you're out there, girl. So I really want to talk about how did you get into events, like in-person events, and how do you do it all? And what advantage has that given you as to your business?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So I'm a Canadian originally, and I lived there for 20
years. Really?
Yeah, 23
I didn't know
years.
That.
Yeah. I'm born in Canada. My parents are from New Zealand, but they moved to Canada for my dad to train as a doctor. They ended up going for 5 years, but they stayed for 35. And so they had me and my two sisters. So we are the only Canadians in the family. And now at the moment, one sister lives in America. The other, everybody else lives here in New Zealand. Everybody,
oh, wow.
Grandparents, aunts and uncles, everybody. So anyway, one of the disadvantages of being in New Zealand, for example, is that, you know, it's just a smaller population in terms of running right. live events. I actually live in, it's not the capital, but it is the biggest city, Auckland. And so it's, if I'm going to live anywhere in New Zealand, it's a brilliant place to be in terms of running live events. And the number of women entrepreneurs here is amazing because a lot of moms just don't want to go back to their quote unquote proper job. And they love the idea of freedom and flexibility of starting their own business, which is perfect for me. So there's tons of ladies here. I run live events. I do a quarterly networking event, like in person. Mm-hmm. So we get about 100 ladies. It's about a 3-hour event. So much fun. And, you know, people can check out the photos on the GoTo Girl mm-hmm. Facebook page. But for this one that we did last week, we actually did it with a twist because I'm all about giving. And this mm-hmm. was a give back initiative where it was networking meets fundraising. And we raised $7,000. With a silent auction, which was
wonderful.
Great. So all the ladies
wonderful.
Donated their products and service. They got great coverage by doing that. And we had a great night. So, yeah, so I run these in-person events. I also, when I started out, I was doing tons of workshops and just mini workshops in a cafe, right? Just when I first started mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. And I actually used to run.
Now, were these paid or not?
These were paid, but not enough.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, when you first start out, you kind right. of, you almost undervalue yourself or you yes. price yourself. So I priced myself pretty, I made myself pretty affordable. So I ran these workshops in cafes and I used to run a business coffee group in my living room in my house. This mm-hmm. is, of course, 3.5 years ago. I don't do that anymore. Although, speaking of Periscope and Blab, I have decided I am running just for 10 spots only at GoToGirl HQ, which is basically my house, mm-hmm. is I'm going to be running a how to use Periscope and Blab to grow your business and make more sales. Workshop. I'm calling it presenting for profits. And, you know, I know a lot of your listeners aren't in New Zealand, but the point is, even if you don't do live events and you have something like Periscope and Blab that's so hot, and a lot of people actually want the hands-on training, like they want to be able to see me demonstrating it, sit down at the computer, have me show them where to click and what to do, then you can just do these kind of one-off workshops. And most, mm-hmm. you know, usually I'll hire a venue and do a workshop. But for this one, because I want the internet, I want the computer, I want to be able to sit around in my lovely lounge, and mm-hmm. it's really a very lovely environment rather than just a room with some tables and chairs. So I think for people thinking about doing live events, I would definitely recommend trying to do at least one live event every quarter if you can, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. just letting people get to see you, like the real you, it can make such a big difference. I do a lot of speaking on stages as well here in New Zealand, mm-hmm. Which also helps.
Awesome. And do you have any tips for us?
On speaking from stages?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I could talk for an hour about that. So I'm kind of like you. I love talking. I love thinking on my feet. It doesn't scare me at all. Like I don't get nervous going and talking in front of like 200 people. It's like that makes me feel so excited. But I think for a lot of people that will make them feel really nervous. So I love having a PowerPoint, but I don't script what I'm going to say. Like I have in my mind, I know, have a story. So I want to go into my PowerPoint, but before that, I usually start off with a story, just a little bit, not a kind of about myself, going on and on about myself, but just a sharing, kind of caring story that's maybe a little bit of a metaphor about the key message I'm getting across during my PowerPoint presentation. So, and that usually goes down pretty well. And then, of course, when they do Q&A at the end, again, if you're comfortable thinking on your feet, then that really helps. So I think if you've even Periscope and Blab is great because it's almost
right.
like training for yourself
That's
to just
right.
be able to think and respond off the cuff. So I guess my mm-hmm. tip for people with the speaking would be one tip is to know, be aware that there's four types of people in your audience. And this goes for Periscope, Blab, networking events everywhere. Four types of people in your audience. And I can't remember, I've got a friend, Sonest, she's words so well. She says the why, the how, and the what if people. Right. So some mm-hmm. people want it. They want data. They want to know numbers to throw in some statistics for them. Other people, they're going to have their hand up straight away and they're going to be asking questions. You know, they're the why people. Then there's like the what if people, the big thinkers. They're like, okay, great. So you've told us this, but what if that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure in your presentation that you're kind of catering to all those four types of people that are going to be sitting there in your audience. So, I mean, we could spend a whole hour on that, but that's just a little taster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you so much. And let's talk a little bit about one of your real strengths that you have. And I definitely can take some takeaways from that is networking.
Mm.
So tell me, talk about some networking, maybe tips and tactics that people can use.
Sure. I think when I say networking, some people get really excited at the thought of actually networking in person, and other people get a little bit freaked out, particularly if it's an event where there's lots of people. And so, of course, there's in-person networking, and then there's online networking, and I think both are so, so valuable. So I'll talk about in-person first. I always give a few tips. In fact, I have a whole thing about, I've got a few podcasts I've recorded about networking, but basically, I think know your goal. This sounds really strategic, but if you're going to just even a dinner party, right, with a few people, even a dinner party, or if you're going to an event, a workshop where you're an attendee, or if you're going to a quote unquote networking event, whatever you're going to, I would have like kind of a goal in mind, meaning before you walk through the door, ask yourself, like, you know, what do I want to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And I don't think your goal is ideally not to come away with like 20 business cards. Your goal should be to connect, usually I'd say, to connect with like two or three people who can really help my business or I can help them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really simple goal, but I think it's a great one because first of all, it takes the pressure off. So you don't think, oh, you have to buzz around the room and enter and exit conversations the whole time. It just takes the pressure off. And then, you know, like, I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to be myself and I'm just going to, whoever I'm drawn to, I'm going to talk to. And, you know, if I'm in a conversation and I feel like I don't connect with the person, you know, there's a few things you can say to just gracefully exit the conversation or like, oh, it's been so lovely meeting with you. I'm going to go and see if I can connect with a few more people before I need to go. Or, you know, you can be casual about it.
Right.
I think one of the other things that, you know, I talk about if it's in person is what you're wearing. So before you even, obviously, before you get to the event, put a little bit of thought into your outfit. I mean, I'm by no means am I a style expert. Like sometimes I look at my outfit. but for sure, definitely when I'm going out to, like, that's just my day to day. I'm pretty casual about what I wear. But if I'm going to an event, I will definitely wear something that I feel confident in. So I think people don't go for the black dress all the time. Just go for something that a color that suits you and an outfit that suits the occasion and an outfit that makes you feel confident and you just feel like you are yourself. So there'll be some times when you want to dress it up a little bit more with some jewelry and high heels. I mean, I always wear high heels because I like to be a little bit taller. Mm-hmm. But I usually drive in flats and then I'll swap into my high heels. Although there was one occasion where I by mistake wore my regular shoes into the venue and I went back and changed. So I think put a bit of thought into what you're wearing and your look, because of course that does reflect your whole business and your brand. But again, you want to be genuine. Like if you're not the type of person that gets all dressed up and wears makeup and does your hair, then and that makes you feel uncomfortable, and wearing a yellow dress and curling your hair would make you feel like everyone's looking at you and that makes you feel uncomfortable, then don't do it, right? So be yourself, wear an outfit that suits, that you feel comfortable in, but that also suits the occasion. And then when you go in there, just have your goal in mind and have a good time. I mean, don't feel the pressure to meet 20 people. Just think, if I can connect with three people, even if it's just someone that I think, oh my God, that person was amazing, I'd love to go for a walk on the beach with them sometime. Or that person is so far ahead of me in business, it's a great person for me to maybe ring up now and then or phone now and then and just ask a few pieces of advice. It doesn't have to be you going in there thinking, I'm going to meet five new ideal clients.
Right, exactly. That's right. And I think what you said in the beginning was so important. Take that pressure off of you, because I think a lot of people go in there like, I need to give like 10 business cards. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. You know, and I think that just makes you so not natural, right? Because then you're just thinking in that zone and you're just like, okay, this person, yes, no. And then maybe you'll miss people who you can genuinely connect with.
Exactly. That's right. I mean, I'm not saying you can't get business cards, but that's not your focus. I mean, I've got a friend who she doesn't even do business cards. She'll just meet someone. And if she connects with them, she'll right then and there, she'll just connect with them on LinkedIn on her phone.
There you go.
Right then and there.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask you that. In fact, because somebody just recently asked me, they're like, because I don't take my business cards. And well, recently I started doing that. And so somebody asked me like, oh, you don't have carry business cards. I'm like, no, you know, I'm going to go straight. I have a LinkedIn app and I'll find you there. What is your take on it?
I love my business cards. They're called postcards. So they're really big and they're really fun and I love them. But one of the tips that I got from a speaker here, Cam Calcoon here in New Zealand, he said, if you are going to give someone your business card, then give them two. So he hands them two cards together and he says, this is for you and another one for a friend. So basically, or someone, hey, this is for you, or so, and this one's for someone else that you think I might be able to help. So I thought that was pretty cool. So he kind of gives them two with the intention that they will hand the other one on to somebody else that they think would be a good connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's nice, the way that it's like somebody else that I can help. So rather than barging mm-hmm. into a conversation and telling people what you do, it's right. like obviously by inquiring. So rather than talking about yourself, if you just simply ask a little bit about them, what do you do? Cause that just sounds so,
mm-hmm.
so it's just sound, if people get nervous, just say like, who do you love working with? Or how did you choose the name for your business? Or even how long have you been in business is a great starter rather than what do you do?
Right.
You can avoid it.
Right. Absolutely. Natalie, have you ever felt maybe in the beginning of your journey that when you're at a networking event and maybe you were infringing on people or you were being too pushy, or have you ever had those doubts? Obviously not now, but probably right in the beginning.
Oh, sure. No, not even right in the beginning. I was on Blab last week and with Natalie Echtal from BizChicks, mm-hmm. and we were talking mm-hmm. about networking. And the example I shared was, like I said before, you want to be aware of the four types of people in the room. Same thing when you're networking. You want to be aware of your own personality type. And mm-hmm. I actually went into great detail talking about, like, not Myers-Briggs, but the animal version of Myers-Briggs, which is otter, beaver, lion, retriever. You want to be really aware of, like, your personality. So I'm an extroverted otter. So I'm an otter retriever, which essentially means I love the limelight. I love talking. I love people. I also am a retriever. So I'm a giver. Like, I just want the disease to please the retriever. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure everyone's happy and okay. So throw that combination into a networking event and I am in mm-hmm. your face. I'm asking you questions. Plus I'm a podcaster. So I'm like, I'm always right. interviewing people. And right. so if I'm aware that the person I'm talking to is an introverted beaver, meaning face, the beaver is more of the planned, they like perfection, they like to know what's happening, they don't like spontaneity, mm-hmm. they're more conservative, like the accountant, the mm-hmm. classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking to a beaver, then I'm going to just not change my personality, but I'm just going to bring it in a little bit. You know, I'm going to tone it down just mm-hmm. slightly. That classic thing about being in rapport with somebody, right? There's some mm-hmm. behavioral, physical hand gestures and stuff you can do to be in rapport. But if I'm at a networking event and I'm sensing that the person is quite introverted, I'm not going to suddenly go all introverted myself, but I am just going to mm-hmm. just reel it in just a little bit.
Right.
So I think that's really important. And similarly, if you are an introverted beaver and go to a networking event, you might need to crank it up a little bit just because, you know, just put yourself out there just a little bit, maybe be a little bit more enthusiastic than you usually, or that type of thing. And the great thing with a beaver is if they wear like a really interesting top or a necklace or earrings, then people will usually say, oh my gosh, I love your earrings, or wow, that's a great scarf. And it takes mm-hmm. the attention off them. It puts the attention onto their accessory and it just gets the conversation going. And so some introverts will do that which I think is a great tip, just to kind of put the conversation, make it easy for someone to start a conversation with them about not necessarily their business, but just about their scarf or their jewelry.
Awesome. I think those are some amazing tips. I'm going to use them. I need to go find out what I am now. Well, I guess what kind of an animal I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I know. That's not going to eat me up. I need to go find it.
I've actually done a podcast about, if you go to gotogirlssocialmedia.com/, I think if you just type in personality, it's about the four personality types. It's
awesome.
Actually Myers-Briggs, but it's just that it's much easier to remember version. And
right,
we use it a
right.
lot for parenting. So if you know what your child is, and it's not putting them in a box, it's just seeing the world through their eyes, then
right.
you can tweak your parenting style because all your kids are going to be different. Or your partner, you figure out what your partner is. You're like, wow, that's fascinating. I just thought he was really lazy, but it turns out
right.
whatever. You know? So, and also in business, if you're doing business with someone or you've got your business partner or you're employing somebody, if you can figure out their personality type and ideally also their love language, which is a whole nother topic, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. you can make sure that they're happy and that you can explain things the way that they totally get. And you can, mm-hmm. yeah, like if they're a beaver, they're going to want to see the facts and the figures and the data and have the rules written down. Whereas if they're more of like an otter like myself, they're more big picture, they're more ideas,
right.
more creative. Yeah. And so the lion, just in short, the lion is the CEO or the surgeon or the professional mm-hmm. sports athlete, just generally. So it's my way or the highway type person. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a little bit. Definitely got a little bit of lion in me for sure. And the other one, otter, beaver, lion, retriever. I think we've covered the four of them.
Awesome. Neat. That's awesome. That's definitely new for me. So thank you so much. Wonderful. So Miss Natalie, are you ready now for our lightning round?
Okay, let's do it.
Awesome. All right. What trophy would you want on your mantle?
Yeah.
Something for contribution. I don't know, but I'm, like I said, I'm all about giving. I just want to make a huge impact in the world. So some sort of trophy for like contribution. Yeah. To a cause, you know, I don't know, to some sort of contribution trophy.
To women entrepreneurs. Yeah. Awesome. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, I don't know if it's guilty. I love a hot bath, you know, so I mean, my daughter right now, oh my gosh, she's doing a campaign. She's turning 9. She's donating her birthday to charity water. She's trying to raise $900 to go to clean water. It's this amazing charity. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because I'm all about the environment as well. But my guilty pleasure, I love a hot bath.
Nice. Yeah. And especially when you have young ones, that's hard to come by. Yeah. And what are you currently reading?
I'm reading Diane Forman, In the Arena.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
And what is your one productivity hack?
I don't know. My one productivity hack is probably I don't really do it. My husband's like, can you just turn off your notifications, please, on Facebook? You know, turn off the notifications. So I guess that would be a product, is just to turn off notifications on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that one for sure. But you know what the flip side is? Sometimes you miss out on things and I'm just like, oh man, I should have seen it like 2 days ago.
Yeah. I think you're probably an otter like me. You don't want to miss out. You're all
exactly. Awesome. Once I find out, I'm going to let you know. And what is your personal motto?
Oh, my personal motto at the moment is give, give, get. And so if I did this coaching session on social media, whenever I did my talk, I always talk about give, give, get. Be helpful and friendly. You know, give people amazing knowledge, but also make sure you get something back in return. Make sure on Facebook you're doing some call to action posts. Make sure in life you're giving, you're being helpful and friendly, and you're donating your time and energy, but also make sure you get something back for yourself. You need to fill your cup. Have your hot bath or your whatever it is that makes you gives back to yourself.
Awesome. And I'm going to take a quick detour here because I want to talk about call to actions really quick. What do you do when you give out a call to action and nobody responds?
So if you're meaning like a call to action, for example, on Facebook or so anywhere on Instagram, anywhere on social media. So a call to action doesn't have to be buy my product, book your ticket for my workshop. It can be like on Facebook, literally I'll write, hey, anyone else on Pinterest? Comment below with your Pinterest name and we can follow each other. Like I'll write that on Facebook. And then people, the idea is that they come in and they comment and then I go and follow them. So what would I do if nobody comments? Then I might go in and comment on my post. Like I would comment, hey guys, here's my Pinterest address. My favorite board is the inspirational quotes. Do you have one? Like I'd kind of go in and try again, but in a comment on that same post.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, cause a lot of times, you know, people add me to so many groups and a lot of times I've seen where the moderator writes something and I feel bad, obviously, cause they're expecting people to write back. And out of maybe 10,000 people that like that page, probably 2 people commented, or maybe out of 500, like 1 person comments. And I'm just like, okay, maybe the way you ask for something could have been different. Or, you know, there are so many ways that you can go about one particular thing. So I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, no, I love that because what I often tell people is wherever you are on social media, and I'll use Facebook as an example, write your post. And then before you click post, like you want to go live with it, reread it to yourself and say to yourself, what are they going to do? And the answer needs to be they're going to like, comment, or share. Because often you'll reread it and you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. That doesn't even make sense. Or that's so interesting. I asked about 3 questions. And if you ask 3 questions, they're probably going to get confused and do nothing. So I always say to people, before you click post, go back, reread it, and don't say, what do I want them to do? We know what you want them to do. We want them to engage, but what are they going to do? And so sometimes it's simply a matter of changing the order of what you're asking. So sometimes people will put the question at the end. I would say put the question at the top because a lot of people they don't read that far. Or it might go into that see more dot, 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 where they just don't click see more and they don't see the rest. So that's one of my tips. And thank you for reminding me. It's getting them to reread and tweak and then post it.
Perfect. All right. And what would you do differently if you were given another chance?
So interesting. I think if I would were given another chance, I would study media or something like that at university. So I studied international development because I wanted to, you know, save the world and all that. But actually, we know I love being on TV and Periscope. And I've been on TV a few times just being interviewed about my book, actually, and on radio. And I'm like, man, I wish I'd studied media and got into that. I mean, I know it's a hard life. I'm not talking becoming an actress, but I am pretty goofy. I wouldn't mind doing that. But doing media, I think media training would be really great for me. Not that that ship sailed, but for me, that's one thing I probably would have added to my journey.
Fun. And like you said, that ship hasn't sailed. So pretty soon, maybe, Natalie, we'll see you on TV.
Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun, Natalie. And can you tell us really quick, how can we all get a hold of you?
Yeah. So if you go to girlsocialmedia.com, that is my website, and you'll see there's a few different ways that people can work with me. I mean, one of my favorite things at the moment is I'm putting together my group of influencers. These are women entrepreneurs who have a burning desire to make a real difference in the world. And I've got four at the moment. So I've got four spots left. And so that is pretty exciting. I've got a few other things going on, another mastermind group with about 100 people in it. But my influencers is where my heart is at the moment. I'm really excited about that. So yeah, go to girl. I'm all over the show. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Periscope, Blab, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc.
Awesome. And we'll put all the links there. Thank you so much, Natalie. This was really fun.
Thanks, Mika.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.